Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, he's the Podonis, and we are live to recap round 24, a round where we have swept our best bets 4-0. We didn't have a best bet riding on today, and they weren't the most appealing games on the slate. So we said we're going to jump in real quick. It's obviously half time in the Titans Knights. The Knights have sort of capitulated in the last few minutes there. They are trailing 24-10, and it would be even worse if Tanner Boyd had kicked some goals. So we'll talk about how that first half has unfolded to a small degree, but we really want to just get across our biggest takeaways and key factors from the whole round. So I'm going to zoom all the way back to the opening game of the round, which was a best bet winner, Podonis. Sadly for you, or maybe mixed emotions because it was your Broncos, but that kicked off a great round of results for us. How did you see this one? Has Brisbane got any hope? Is there any chance they can breathe any more life back into this season, or was that the end of it?
Well, anything that we thought would have been some form of hope on the back of last week was a big effort here, and we didn't get that. We thought that they might have been a bit fatigued and a bit tired, and maybe their gas tank's a bit empty, and Parramatta steamrolled them from start to finish. Thought Moses, Gutho, Brown, especially, were three key guys that really attacked them. Even Sean Lane had one of his best games that I've ever seen him play. But look, in terms of the Broncos, I think next week's, they have to win to put pressure on Canberra, but they're in the box seat now, the Raiders. The Brisbane have lost over 100 points differential in the past 2 weeks, so it's pretty hard to make that up. Carrigan does come back, but I think it's a little bit too little, too late. They had some two big home games to put in some effort in front of their fans and really stamp their authority to make the eight, because they had a fantastic year and it's almost like a bit of a letdown now. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do bounce back. And we do know that the Dragons are playing spoiler at this time of the year as well, playing well, winning some games.
And nobody likes giving credit to Parramatta whenever they win. It's usually always about how bad the opposition were. But Parramatta's playing great footy right now. They showed it a week ago, dismantling the Dogs. They came into Brisbane with a purpose. Obviously, Reynolds was out after 15 minutes, but it was already 18-0. He was injured, copped a head knock, I think, in the act of Parramatta scoring their third try. So that was going to be over regardless. People have been asking me, like, what's happened? What's gone wrong with Brisbane? We've mentioned Carrigan, loss of Carrigan. I think Farnworth, they were flying at the time they lost him, so nobody really noticed, because I think they still carried on their winning streak at that time. But it's reduced the edge of the left edge attack. You've got some superstars in this team, like Payne Haas, Tony Staggs. At least they are at their best. They haven't been at their best. And another factor, I reckon, everyone talked about how Brisbane had such a hard off-season and hard pre-season, I should say. And that's probably one of the reasons they came out and started the season strong. But the risk of that is you do get burnout, and of course, couple that with some players that come through Origin. So we were talking about scenarios where the Raiders will know how much they need to win by next week. The points differential, as you said, has been so far eclipsed. The Raiders will only need to win next week. So, and you know what? Even if Brisbane got into the finals by a miracle, they'll get smashed by whoever they play in round one. So it's a bit sad for the Bronx, but it was great for us because our best bet was Parramatta, -1.5, and our mixed matchup. So if I didn't say before, we went 4-0, we won a mixed matchup as well. A mixed matchup needed Parramatta to score more points than the Melbourne Storm. So 53 on the board certainly got us home without a sweat. Next game, we didn't touch it. We were close to laying the points with Penrith. And, you know, in hindsight, we would have liked to. But 46-12 it was. They played basically full strength, the home side, the Panthers, other than obviously they're waiting on Nathan Cleary to return. The Warriors put in a little bit of fight. And Sean Johnson was also injured in this game, which is quite sad and disappointing because he's not going to be able to play the season farewell game at Mount Smart next week. But what did you learn from this one, Podonis?
Yeah, as you touched on it there, we did lean towards the Panthers. I felt that a few more players may have got rested before then, so I didn't really feel comfortable taking the line. I think it was 28.5 when we were doing the pod on Wednesday. It closed like 32.5. So for all those people that took the 28.5. You got that try right at the end, which helped you.
Questionable as well.
Yeah, it was a bit hard.
It was a penalty try. Yeah,
same. Yeah, correct. Penalty try. Walsh was just trying to throw everything into it to try to stop Yo. And I don't know, it's not like those ones where you've seen in the past where, like, Billy Slater used to do it when the rule first came in, where he intentionally slides with his foot. I think he used his body to try to cup Yo as he fell to the ground. So it was a disappointing one for the Warriors, but they scored the first try in this game, and it looked to make a game of it, but I think Penrith scored 3 tries in the final 10 minutes before halftime, and that was pretty much game over. Business as usual, Penrith rolling into the semi-finals and sets up a chance for them to rest some players next week.
Yes, so final hit out for Penrith, basically full strength. And I'll give you a bonus tip as well. So multiple people, Sharp Minds in our group, have tipped Cowboys -4.5 this weekend for the game in round 25, obviously up in Townsville. Now, that's already moved to -6.5. At $1.50 head-to-head on Sportsbet, I really can't see how the Cowboys are going to lose that one. We'll talk about what's at stake for them later. And even on Bet365, 13-plus play the Cowboys. My prediction is that Penrith is going to name vastly understrength side and that that line could be near 20. So we don't often give you tips in the live recap, but if you are one of our loyal followers that jumps in, I really believe that this is one of those rare occasions. You've seen us do it before. We've beaten the line by multiple converted tries in round 25 because it is a peculiar round. And I think the bookies are going to be a bit more aware. So I was surprised that any bookies were letting people get at the Cowboys because they could still want to win to put pressure on Cronulla next week. Penrith have nothing to play for and you just wouldn't risk an injury or a suspension. And I know that they're, you know, they're match fit. They're match fit. These guys have carried them through the last month, but now they want to freshen up for the finals. Cleary rejoins and then they're going to throw everything at whoever lands in fourth. And whoever lands in fourth is going to be decided on Thursday night because the Melbourne Storm could not secure that position, going down 18-14 in a game that delivered everything that it promised, and it was another best bet winner for us. For Donis, we liked Roosters. We found a great line in +6.5, and that's fine. They won by 4 points, but we tossed up going either team 1-10, which would have probably been equally good because it was tight the whole way through, and a huge effort by the Roosters, one that could have gone either way.
Yeah, 100%. And all the different permutations you could have taken with unders, either team 1-10, Roosters to cover, they all cashed. It was one of those tight games. The game had everything. It was one of the best games I've seen all season. Big hits, aggression, some great tries, and phenomenal defense, which was led by James Tedesco. And I think it's highlighted right at the end there where the Storm had about 16 tackles, 3 sets in a row on the Roosters try line when it was 18-14 right at the end there. And we thought the Storm scored and won the game at the end. Tedesco, another try saver. I think the Roosters and Storm, both those sides were just at their best version, just going hammer and tong at each other. There's no question in my mind, both of these teams will definitely be there or thereabouts when the whips are cracking in 4 weeks' time. The game could have went either way. So it sets up a Bankwest game next week with the Storm up against the Eels. The winner makes the top four. And the point you mentioned just early on the Cowboys, even if the Sharks were way ahead in second, I think the Cowboys would want to win anyway because the Storm can still jump them. And if you're the Cowboys, you don't want to play the Panthers in the first week. So you definitely want to win that just to guarantee top three. So that's another great way to play that. And yeah, we are surprised that some of the bookies are holding those lines pretty low at this stage.
Yeah, and in this game, what I wasn't surprised about was the performance of the Melbourne Storm. Like, yeah, they got very close, as you say. Like, and I really think that the Roosters hang on to this game by just phenomenal goal line defence because Melbourne threw the kitchen sink at them at the end of the game and they were mounting pressure, mounting territory, and the Roosters had a sin bin. I thought it was questionable. Warrior Hargraves, you know, but as you say, there's a lot of niggle. But the wash-up is important in this one, or the fallout, because Collins has a hip drop charge to answer. It could be up to a month out. He only just got back. He's a bench prop, but like, you know, a guy that involved in Origin, that would be a big loss. Victor, really scary scenes, obviously getting a bad concussion, sort of convulsing on the field, but then up and talking and walking around after the game, which is great to see. But like, I'd be very doubtful that he'd play this week, but the Roosters need to make sure or need him to be available in the finals if they are going to go all the way, which they are capable of doing. And Daniel Tupou, really underrated winger too. Well, the guy that, you know, played Origin, although he was much maligned. Groin strain and the severity of that's unknown as well. So although the Roosters get a really valuable win that secures their spot in the finals, they're going to be sweating on the health of a few of their troops. On Saturday, this was a blowout and a shame we didn't have a best bet on it. Raiders 48, Seagulls 6. What held us off was probably just not knowing if there was any life left in this Manly side. Evidently, there was not. But I did talk about playing the extremes in this. In fact, go back and watch the tape. And I said, don't play Manly plus 14 and a half. Put less on and take Manly to win because they're either going to show up or, if you like the Raiders, back them to win 40 plus. Well, they won by 42, Podonis, and they were never really challenged.
No, they were never really challenged, and they just played like the side with more to play for, more energy, intensity. I think Brisbane's loss really gave them the impetus to go on with this one, knowing that all they had to do was win this game and the next game, and they're pretty much in the finals. And then I think Manly have well and truly given up, and some of their play was pretty poor defensively, no line speed, and it was just one team that just wanted it more. And you see at this stage of the season, situation and motivation means a lot more than just teams on a piece of paper. And if you're lining up the 1-17, as we said on Wednesday, Manly are a lot closer. But as you touched on, taking those extremes, because when you do have effort and attitude question, then that's when you can see some of those results. So Canberra, credit to them. They've been inconsistent all year, but somehow they've managed to put on a run at this back end of the year and really make a charge towards the top eight, and looking likely and the favourite to do so next week with that last game against the Tigers at Leichhardt.
And people also questioned the effort of the Bulldogs and whether they'd given up. And the Bulldogs did get 40 put on them in New Zealand and then 40 plus put on them by Parramatta. So some people looking at the Dogs as if they're one of these lifeless teams. And that's why the line for this game went up as low as 12 and a half in some places on Monday, as discussed with Tristan. Even Top Sport went up 18 and a half, and it just kept getting better all the way to 24 and a half, came down a touch. But we got plus 24 as our best bet on the Bulldogs. It wasn't pretty. In fact, if you miss this game, you didn't miss much because the Sharks were pretty shocking, to be honest. So I'm not going to say it was a great bet. I will pat us on the back. That was our third winning best bet of the round. And, you know, we took a side catching more than 20 points. You always got to be a little bit brave because these ones can get ugly. And it was only a week ago we saw the absolute ugliest of bets that you can get when we took the Tigers, right? But we came back to it just saying this is too many points. And the fact of the matter is the Dogs did fight hard enough, and that's what kept us in it. I was worried the whole way that because the game was in the balance and it was about 10-0, for like 65 minutes, that once the Sharks got that third try, that kind of cracked the game open, and then the Dogs had no chance to win. They might fold in the final 8 minutes and might let in a couple soft ones. To their credit, they didn't. But as I say, Cronulla was really poor, which actually opened the door and gave the Dogs an opportunity in this one, and we would have been able to win our 17-1 dabble multi if this was within 12 points. And the reason we didn't was because the Dogs were also so poor. I couldn't understand how bad their attack was. I know that conditions weren't great, but I was going, where's the Dogs from the middle of the season that were scoring 30 a game? Where's the Dogs that were opening it up under Potter? They just did nothing in attack, scored one try that was called obstruction, but they couldn't get themselves in the game because when they did get their few opportunities on the Sharks line, a credit to the Sharks defense, but they were just toothless, the Doggies, in this one. So I guess we should be thankful they're still covered for us.
Yeah, well, it was a very ugly game, this one. And as you touched on, if you didn't watch it, you don't have to bother watching the highlights. It was one of those games where plenty of errors on both sides. I think it was one of those games where the Bulldogs defended well on their line for a large period in that game. And the second half was only 6-0. So it just goes to show how much fight the Dogs did have in it, even though they were poor with the ball. Because on Wednesday, if someone said to us, the Dogs will score 0 points, I definitely wouldn't have felt confident taking the plus 24. But it just goes to show that, and we did predict that it was going to be a scrappy affair because the Sharks just had to win. They didn't have to really push the envelope to get that for and against because they already had a clear advantage over the Cows. And I think the Sharks made 20 errors themselves as well. So it was one of those dire games, and just happy to walk away with the best bet win.
Actually, the Sharks don't have the advantage over the Cows. They can't catch the Cows on points differential. But because the Cows lost the very next game, the Sharkies now in the box seat to finish with more competition points. And that'll be decided next week. And we've spoken about that's going to decide who hosts the game in the week one of the finals. And the Cowboys threw everything at the Rabbitohs in this one, but it was the Rabbitohs 20 beating the Cowboys 10. But the beauty of this game that completed our sweep, our 4-0 sweep, was we took plus 1.5 tries. And I had people saying, you lost by 2 tries. Well, on face value, I suppose we lost by 10. It looks like we lost by 2 tries, but it was only 3-2. By virtue of a couple of penalty goals and difference in conversions. So that is, you know, I will say that people sometimes ask, why take a try line as opposed to a regular handicap? And these are the rare circumstances where it makes all the difference, because you know, the line on Wednesday was 7.5, 6.5. You couldn't even get 8.5 on the Cowboys. We took plus 1.5 tries. Of course, we've got a bit of a stroke of luck, like the previous game. Thompson was ruled out for the Dogs with COVID. In this one, an even more important player, you'd say, Damien Cook, was ruled out with COVID on game day for the Rabbitohs. So this line closed. You probably couldn't even get 4.5, could you, Pinoz? It was like 3.5, 2.5 on game day. So we're in a good position. And it was anybody's game. I mean, the Rabbitohs scored the clinching try late when the Cowboys were reduced to 11 men, and there was a huge collision in this one, Cohen Hess. I don't know if it was really sin-binable. Like, was it a head clash? They showed like 7 replays, and I really couldn't see a high shot amongst it. But I just saw a collision. But regardless, before that, it was a really intense contest. It was a finals-level footy, and that's the kind of game we expected, hence why we took the start with the Cowboys. Now, people will come out of it with a narrative that the Cowboys can't win big games in Sydney. They have lost some of their rare games they've lost this year. They have lost in Sydney. I don't know. I thought they were in this game up to their eyeballs. Drinkwater didn't play 5/8. He played fullback. To me, the Hammer was defending as a 5/8, but then in attack, they were kind of splitting the duties. Not sure how you saw that, Badonis. And there was also an amazing try in this game by Kyle Felt on a fifth tackle, amazing individual try that pulled the Cowboys in this game. And the Cowboys were attacking the Rabbitohs line only down 4 late. So there was a chance to win, but all the credit to the Rabbitohs because they withstood that. And as I say, got the try that got them in front, that secured South Sydney's spot in the finals as well.
Yeah, that's right. And you touched on it there with Hammer and Drinkwater swapping positions. And Drinkwater did defend at the back, as you said, but then they would swap in attack. And it's pretty ironic that after all that swapping and changing, it was the final play where they had a chance to win the game attacking the South's line. And if Drinkwater was playing fullback, I dare say he would have been on the end of that Lalua pass, because I think Hammer was a bit slow.
That's right. It was intercepted, and Hamisa wasn't off his hip when he broke the tackle.
Correct, yeah. So Lalua, he did everything right, but it was just unfortunate. And then exactly as you said, the play later, there was that collision. It was a high-speed collision. I thought it was a head clash. It wasn't a shoulder charge. It was just a front-on-front tackle, and Cohen Hess was unlucky to get sin bin. I think the Cowboys defended like their lives depended on it in that half. They made plenty of mistakes. I think they had a 60% completion rate. So I think Payton's got plenty to work on, but the Cowboys were in it up to their eyeballs. And I was impressed with how dominant Souths were through the middle, given Cook was out. So that did surprise me. So Souths are still well and truly in this premiership race, even though there were a lot of people doubting him after last week losing to the Panthers without their stars.
And they play the Roosters this week, but there's a lot of moving parts of that game. We're not going to talk too much. We're going to make this a real short recap. Get all our thoughts on Wednesday. You want our thoughts. We're over 80% on best bets since round 17. We are flying, honestly. 58% for the season after the nightmare start is crazy. Like 58% for any season under any conditions is crazy. So I want to make that clear. Like, doing a great job. We're doing our best for the people that follow us, and we appreciate the people that have stuck with us through this season. You mentioned Leilua did his best. His former team did their best today to throw this one away, and they sure did, the West Tigers. They lost 24-22 when they were up 6, and they probably would have got a penalty with about 4 minutes to go as well, if not for a brain explosion. How do you pronounce that winger's name? Is it Pauga? I know he's only played a handful of first grade games, if that, but West Tigers led this game by 10 at halftime. And we're in the box seat, as I said, leading by a converted try when they forced a line dropout that did not go the 10 metres. But I had never seen this before. West Tigers' young winger, he stepped inside the 10 metres and let the ball hit him, which resulted in a penalty to the Dragons, which resulted in a try to the Dragons. And then a line break to the Dragons in the final 2 minutes resulted in a high shot on the sideline and a sin bin for Kapoa and a game-winning penalty goal by Lomax. So that's talk about throwing a game away, West. They actually came out with so much more effort than what they did a week ago when they had 72 put on them. Would have loved that from you guys last week, West. But we did speak about on Wednesday how sometimes when teams get humiliated, do get their response. They got that. The Dragons were patchy, but the Dragons just found a way to steal this one at the end nonetheless.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the Dragons didn't really help themselves, shot themselves in the foot a few times, had two sin bins in the first half. One of them was Jack Bird with an absolute brain explosion, abusing the referee. How many times do we have to say it? You can't keep doing that and getting away with it. We saw with James Tarmo last week. To Bird's credit, when he came back on, I think he had a fantastic second half. I was pretty disappointed in Griffin that he did bench and moan, because he was one of the Dragons' best player in the past 3 or 4 weeks. So I'm not sure why he was on the bench when they were trying to chase the game and chase points. I think Lomax almost scored, and it was an unlucky knock-on off a bomb just before he did score his actual try. But yeah, talk about the Tigers. They had 7 completed sets in the second half, and that's just crazy. If you want to win in the NRL, you can't have that. You can't blow a lead like that. And I think they're resigned to the wooden spoon now with the Gold Coast up by 3 scores at the moment. So it's going to be a tough one for the Tigers, but another wooden spoon and plenty for Tim Sheens to work on next year.
And in fact, the second half has kicked off and it's only a 2-score game. So I wouldn't mind a competitive game to end the round. We were very close to laying 6 with the Titans on Wednesday night. I'll be honest with you. When we tell you we have a lean, I do want to be right. I want people to win backing our leans. But I also, part of me goes, if we didn't take it as the best bet, I don't really want it to win. So I don't know who, I'm kind of torn, but I wouldn't mind seeing the Knights make a game at this one. But geez, they threw this one away in the first half towards the end there. Just reminded me of the Knights last week throwing it away. That was all in the second half against Canberra. But these inconsistent teams, who knows what you're going to get. So let's go back to our TV screens and see how this one ends. Padonis, we've done our work for the weekend. Thanks for making the time to quickly unpack it. Thank you to everyone who tuned in. Have a good week, guys. We're going to get back in the lab, of course, and try and find some plays for the final regular season round, our last week of footy with 8 games. But I would say stay alert, stay tuned in our group as well, because round 25 is unique and there are unique betting opportunities and there are correlated multis and there's news that breaks that can massively move the markets. And if you are alert, you can find great opportunities, and the place to keep your ear to the ground is in our group for sure, because we've got lots of people that are staying across all the news and sharing it with each other. So we'll talk to you then. Always bet responsibly whenever you do. And leggo.